if you will tonight, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Start with verse 10. We'll start with verse 10, chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. This is another book that Paul, the apostle, has wrote. And he wrote it with, and he wrote it all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a whole lot here we can grasp. But I know that we cannot really get into a whole lot of it because we could stay on one particular verse anywhere in the book of Ephesians. I believe that we could stay on it for months. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to get what we can out of it. But tonight, for a little while tonight, we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that ye should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for our inheritance, for our daily living, and we have the purpose that he is so graciously has given us. We have a purpose now. He has set us apart from other people. And as he's setting us apart, he set us apart for a reason. And that reason was him. To go out and to do what he had started, and go and do what Paul had started and so many of the others had started. But he has given us that purpose in life. Up until we were saved, we did not have a purpose. We may have thought we had a purpose, but we really didn't have a purpose in life. Because we were just going through life just day by day. We didn't know what was going to expire. Take place tomorrow, next week, or next month. But with the purpose in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, we know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. We know exactly what's going to happen next week. We know exactly what is going to happen next month. We know exactly what's going to happen at the election this November. You say, preacher, how do I know that? I don't know that. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. That's the reason we need to stay with Jesus. If we stay with Jesus, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about next week. Why? Because Jesus is going to be with us, and he's going to walk with us, and he's going to go where we go. And if we come into that place to where we're going to have a stumbling block in front of us, where it's set there for, by Satan, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in front of us. We follow him. And as he gets to that roadblock that Satan has set about, what does he do? If it's a great big old gutter there that we can't cross, what is he going to do? He's going to speak it out. He's going to allow a bridge to be there, to where we can walk across it, where we can follow him. He's always going to be the one that sets everything in motion for us. And when he sets it in motion, he has our best interest at hand. And we must realize that. We must not even worry about this or that. We should not even worry about what's going to take place tomorrow, because I don't have to. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, you don't have to. I will do it for you. I will do it for you. I'll take care of it when we get there. And I'm so thankful that he will. We just need to be people that will just take it and say, Lord, I'm not going to worry anymore. You do the worrying. I just want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be your feet. I want to be your hands. I want to be your eyesight. I want to be your ears, to where I can go out and do what you want done. Because see, if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. Even God in heaven can't do it. If a Christian will not do their part, it will not get done. So we don't need God, but God does need us. God needs us to go and to do his work. And we got to be mindful of that. And we cannot worry about it, because if we worry, what are we going to do? Well, you know, what in the world I'm going to do tomorrow? You know, I need to go out and visit some tomorrow. I need to call some people tomorrow. Lord have mercy. My health is just, my legs are getting weak. I just can't stand up no more. Am I going to complain about it? If I complain about it, then if I do get down, and if I don't do what he asked me to do tomorrow, yeah, I won't be down tomorrow. My legs are going to be weak. I'm going to be tired tomorrow. Then Friday, what's going to happen? My legs are going to be tired Friday. I won't be tired. I'm not going to be able to do what I wanted to do. I don't need to worry about it. I leave that in God's hands. I have left this church. I have left this body of people in God's hands. Oh yeah, I pray for it. That does not mean when we leave something in God's hand that we quit praying. No. We continue praying. We continue seeking God.
And as we seek God, God will honor our faithfulness to Him. He will honor our faithfulness. What is our faithfulness? Following Him. My faithfulness is not for me to go back home with this evening tonight and start worrying about, well, we didn't have about 8 people tonight. What is that going to do to me? It's going to make me disheartened. It's going to make me feel bad. What I need to do is, I need to thank the Lord that for the people that was here. Because I tell you, it's tough when you come into a church and when there's nobody here but just a few. That's tough. Because see, the pews itself, they don't hear you. They just there. They just there taking up space. We should not ever get in that situation to where we're just at church taking up space. We should not feel that way. We need to feel like that we are needed. And we are needed. By who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like I don't know if I read it to y'all or not. There's a saying that I can't get over it. Once I saw it and I heard about it and everything, I don't have it in this Bible, but what it is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is meant for the sinner. It's meant to bring the sinner to Jesus. But nowadays, we having it like the sinner is trying their very best to change the gospel to suit their own need. We don't need to change the gospel. We don't need to change anything at all about this book. What we need to do is we need to try our very best in changing people's hearts. How do you do that? It's tough. It really is. Especially when they say, well, I go to church, I'm saved and everything, all this. I got religion and everything, and I'm a Christian. See, they done got used to saying all of that. That they don't even know what they're saying. They just saying it just to be saying it. But to be a Christian is to be like Christ. So we must strive to be just like Him. We must do our part in being like Him. And if we are, and if we try, we can succeed. Why? Because He is the grand teacher. He is the professor that we can count on. He's the one that knows this book. I don't know this book. The only thing I know is what I read, and that's it. But I don't know the book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. I don't know it. And I'm being honest with you, I don't know it. That's the reason I need the Lord Jesus Christ to to help me and to teach me what it says. And when we ever get to the point in our life and saying, well, I understand what it's saying. I know exactly what it's saying. You better back up. Because you don't know exactly what it's saying. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because this right here is a living Bible. It lives. It changes daily. We can go in there and we can take one scripture. We can take that one scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can take every word and we can look it up in a dictionary. We can look it up in the accordance. We can look it up in the commentary and see what all they say about one word in that verse. And you search out the other words in that, and you think that you've come up with it all. You think, well, I've dissected that verse. I've dissected it. I can't get no more out of it. Can't nobody else get no more out of it. And read it that way. But they're wrong. Because they can turn right back around within the next half hour or an hour and read the same verse. And do the same thing over and over again with each and every word. And he's going to come up with something different. Why? It was written by God. That's the way God wants this book. He don't want it to stay the same because we're not the same. There is no two people that are alike. There are no two people that's alike. Oh yes, when I surrendered the call to preach, I went out and I heard, I went into revivals and everything, and I heard, went to camp meetings and everything, and I heard some good preachers back then. I heard Brother Mays Jackson. As far as I was concerned at that time, I mean, he was the man. And I said to myself, I got in my automobile that night and I was coming home. And I said to myself, I said, that's who I want to pattern my preaching after. That's who I wanted to be like. God says you can't be like Mays Jackson because there's number one Mays Jackson. When I created Mays Jackson, I threw the mold away. When I created you, I threw the mold away. He says you do what you're supposed to do. And you pray. And you seek God and you read the book. And you read the Bible and you come up with your own convictions. If you come up with your own convictions and if you stick with them, then son, you're gonna go somewhere. Hey, I don't want to go nowhere on earth. The only place I'm headed for is heaven. I just come by some Faith Baptist Church and I've just stepped in here for a little while, passing on by. One day he's going to call me home. I don't know if it's going to be by the rapture or by the grave. I don't know. But when he calls me, I'm ready to go. Can you say that? Are you ready to go just like you are? Are you? I can honestly say, right now, that if he took the last breath from this body of mine,
and I fell over. And you come up here. And you check back and call the life saving crew. They come, they check back. They said, well, he's gone. Hey, I'm not worried about that. I know where I'm going. Because Paul said, what did Paul say? Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Be absent from the body is to be present with God. What's going to be absent from this body? The soul. Because this body cannot enter in heaven. This corrupt, sinful, defiled body cannot enter in. But thanks be to God, the inward man, the inward man, which is his soul, will be able to enter in. Why? Because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Why?
Because, just because I love Him, just because I accepted Him as my Savior. When He died on Calvary's cross, I'm so thankful that He received me the very moment I asked Him. The very moment I say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Lord, I need to live a better life than I'm living. And Lord, I don't go out here and I don't gamble and I don't drink and I don't take drugs. And I don't run around with my wife and all of that. I don't do all of that, but I'm still lost. A man that lives a life that where has no sin or don't do anything or anything at all like that. I believe when it comes right down to it, they are completely miserable. Why? Because they can sit out there in the congregation and say, well, you know, I ain't never been like that. I ain't run around on my wife. I'm no drunkard. I'm no harlot. I'm no drug addict. I'm good to my neighbors. I'm good to my family. And I work hard. I work every day. I provide for my family. That's not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get anybody to heaven is the blood. The blood that where He is shed. Where we was baptized. I'm so glad that I don't like to get off on it, but this is the only time that I ever do. But you got the Methodists out here. They sprinkle. They come up and they get that little bowl of that and they take it. Put the hands in that water and sprinkle it on top of the head. Hey, I don't want Jesus just to come and sprinkle His blood on the top of my head. I want to be baptized in it. I want to be saturated with His blood. Because if I'm saturated with His blood, then it's nothing
that I cannot do with His help. I notice Satan wants to, he wants to destroy me, and he's trying his very best, but he's not going to destroy me. Oh, he's going to get me down. Oh, yeah. He'll probably get me down. Just think about it. See, Jesus can get me back up. Oh, Satan, he can get me down. And I may have to end up going to Duke, and I may end up have to have a liver transplant. I may have to go through all of that. And the devil's going to say, man, I got you, Donnie. You don't. And they don't even worry about it no more. I got you where you need to be at. I'll take care of you. Oh, he ain't going to take care of me. He ain't took care of nobody. He won't even take care of his own self. But even if I went all through all of that, I can be like Job. I can still trust my Lord and Savior. And He's going to bring me out of it. He's going to bring me back up. He's going to set my feet on the ground again. And He's going to allow me to get back in the pulpit. He's going to allow me to be back there and preach His word. He's going to allow me to do the things that I haven't been able to do in the last year, or the last year and a half, or the last 2 years. Hallelujah. You won't be able to keep me down when the Lord Jesus Christ touches. When He touches me, you won't be able to keep me down. Oh, you'll try. Satan will put it in your minds that you need to kind of get a hold of the preacher a little bit. Says, you know, you get a little rowdy up out there, and he looks like he's getting ready to run or something like that. Says, he'll need to run and follow. If he does, he's going to break something. Hey, the God I serve is still in control. Still in control. And we'll still be in control in 2017. Unless He tarries, He'll still be in control when 2018 comes by. He will still be in control. Why? Because He loves me. He loves you. And He loves the people that we talk to. The people that we invite to church, He loves them. One of these days, they're going to sense that. And when they do, they're going to fall on their knees. And they're going to ask Jesus to save their soul. And then nobody's going to be able to keep them quiet. I have a brother. He's the youngest one of us. I know when he was baptized or sprinkled, whatever it was back then. But I've been working on trying to get him in church. You've been talking to him. And my mother's been talking to him also. Say, you need to get back in church. You was there at one time. What's the matter now? You need to get back in church. You know what he told her? He said, I do not believe that you have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't believe that you have to go to church to get to heaven.
I told my mother this. I said, well, what he said is right. I said, but what he didn't get was the Christian part. If he claims to be a Christian, and he knows, if he knows he's a Christian, he's going to want to do everything possible he can do to get in church and be around God's people. A sinner don't like to come around God's people. And the Christian, the ones that saved, they don't like to be around the sinner because of the language that they say and they speak and the things that they do and the company that they keep. We have to be mindful of the things and the places we go. Yeah. Some people say, well, we can't go here, we can't go there. We have to look at the whole idea of it. When Jesus was speaking, and when Jesus was explaining to his disciples there to go about and be the witness that they need to be, they should not just have went and be it, but as they went, they lived it. And when they went to a house, or when they went into somebody's business, and even like today, if we go into someone's home, or we go into somebody else's business, and then they come up and say, well, I don't want to hit any of all that and everything, and use some profanity and all of that, and I don't want to hear anything about your God or nothing like that. The Bible teaches us that what we must do, we need to turn around, dust our feet off, and go. We didn't already done what God has asked us to do. We need to go somewhere else. Because the next place we go to, they may accept us. They may want to hear something. They want to know how they can be saved. People today, they just think that they can just live life the way they want to and still go to heaven. It's going to be a whole lot of sad, sad people when it comes right down to it. It really is. But it's not going to be because of me. I hope and pray it's not going to be because of you. Because we that's what we need to do. We need to do our part in giving them something, to give them hope. I mean, they was talking on the news here the other night. The Republican Party and everything. And the Republican Party, they was talking about hope. Hope. No, we need to give the hope out. They just need to do the government's work. They need to leave the hope alone. They need to leave that to us. They need to leave that up to the Christian to go out and let people know there is hope. There is hope for them. And I'm not speaking of a hope of salvation. I'm speaking of a
know, K-N-O-W. Know so salvation. You can know in your heart in whom you serve. I'm going to leave this with you tonight.
I'm going to close. We'll leave this with you. Is this something you can think on, chew on, whatever? But do you know yourself? Do you have that know-so? Salvation.
When nobody else can convince you any other way, there is nothing to it. Do you? We need to let people know in whom we serve. We need to let people know who we're standing with. And I am not standing with the devil. I am not standing with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I'm not standing with nobody else. The only one I'm standing with, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The triune God. That's who I'm standing with. And that's who I need each and every day.
Everyone stand, head bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask y'all a question. Is there somebody that you know that's not in church? Somebody that you know that needs to be saved? If you do, would you just step out and come to the front so we can pray for them? And if you know of anybody like that, and if you don't mind, if you'll write their name down or address down,